Well, good morning, everybody. Bless you all. I have 2 points in the sermon today, and the first one is about prayer. And I was reminded of a joke about prayer because our seminarian Tyler has renewed in me the love for sitting on the front porch. Tyler, when we have a rare moment of respite and break, he just likes to go sit on the porch. And so we've spent many an evening out on the front porch, or night, I should say, and Billy with us, and it's just a wonderful time. And but there's a funny joke told about a woman who loved to sit on her front porch, and the woman prayed on her front porch, but she prayed real loud, and the neighbor was an atheist, and the woman would do her morning prayers, and one day she said, "Lord, I'm so tired this morning, and yet I need groceries. Could you please just bring me some groceries to my front porch right here?" And the neighbor hears this prayer and he says, "I'm going to show her." So he goes out, he gets the groceries, brings the groceries to the front porch. And the woman, she goes out and she sees them and she says, "Dear Lord, thank you for bringing my groceries. You have answered my prayer." And the neighbor, he hears that and he goes, "Ha, I gotcha. God didn't do that, I did it." And the woman says, "Dear Lord, thank you. You not only brought me my groceries, but you made the devil pay for them." I tell you what, folks, prayer is a pretty big deal. And it works. And sometimes it works in crazy ways. And sometimes the answer to our prayers is a rather unusual instrument. And maybe God answers our prayers in ways that we never would expect Him to answer those prayers. But I was thinking, you know, how many homilies have I heard in my life? How many homilies have I given in 5 years where I told people, pray more, got to pray more. But sometimes I think we don't know how. And for that, I have given you a nice little resource. It's a tiny little pamphlet, a little leaflet here, and they're at all the doors of church. Maybe you grabbed one on your way in. If you didn't, grab one on your way out. Anybody can pray this. A kid can pray it. So can a 90-year-old. It's for everybody. And it's meant to facilitate a beautiful conversation with Jesus. Our second reading today, St. Paul told the church in Rome that the Spirit comes to the aid of the Christian when he or she prays. Because we don't know how to pray all the time. Sometimes there's groanings that we don't have words for. And there's a great song, "God Loves Lullaby." Oh, I don't even know the words to it. But a soldier's cry better than an alleluia sometimes. God loves the tears we shed, the silent tears of what's been said. I don't know the words. But anyway, it's a really good song. And it's all about how God reads the heart. And sometimes the groanings of the heart that St. Paul talks about in our second reading today. Well, this is meant to facilitate a conversation with Jesus that might not be just words. It's meant to bring up in ourselves, in the depths of our hearts and souls, these groanings, you know? Let me just read you through. It starts out this way. Listen to this. This is like the best thing that happened in my prayer life since sliced bread. And if you get it. "My child, you need not know much in order to please me. Only love me dearly. Speak to me as you would talk to your mother if she had taken you in her arms. Have you no one to recommend to me? Tell me the names of your relations, of your friends, and after each name, add what you wish me to do for them. Ask a great deal. I love generous hearts that forgive themselves for others." So then that's the first paragraph, and you would just pause and you would call to your mind all your family members, your friends, and whoever's on your heart, and you picture them and you ask Jesus to bless them in a specific way. And then you move on. "Tell me about the poor whom you want to help, the sick whom you have seen suffer, the sinner whom you would like to convert, the persons who are alienated from you. For all, recite a fervent prayer. Remind me that I have promised to grant every prayer that comes from the heart. And so then, like, I try to pray this every night. And as I do it, I pray for the people that I visited in the hospital, the people that I've talked to who are wondering about things and maybe a little lost. I pray for the whole bloody world and the people who are suffering so deeply. And you call to mind these people, and then you ask Jesus to bless them in a specific way. But then you keep on going. It's just so great. Have you no favors to ask of yourself or for yourself? Write, if you would like, a long list of your wishes, all your needs. Tell me simply what you need. And it keeps going. I just really love this. And then at the very end, there, towards the end, it says something about, and what joys do you have to tell me? Confide in me your pleasures. Tell me what has happened since yesterday to console you, to make you look happy, to give you joy, and so on. And then, have you no promises to make me? You know I read the very bottom of your heart. It's a beautiful thing. And I highly, highly, highly recommend it for everybody. And it's especially wonderful to pray this in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the Adoration Chapel. Now, you could do it on the front porch. You could do it someplace else. But it's just meant to foster a beautiful prayer time with our Lord. And it speaks beautifully to the heart. And so I give this to everybody as a little help for your prayer life. My second thought is about weeds. In our gospel today, Jesus talks about them. And I got to thinking about how our souls, in a lot of ways, are like gardens. And in our gardens, there's a lot of good stuff growing. But there's also some weeds. And I think it's important to follow the example and teaching of Jesus, who doesn't turn his back on people just because they have some weeds. And I think that we're meant to do the same. First, celebrating the fact that Jesus doesn't turn his back on us. There's weeds in every life. Some of them are sins. Some of them are just faults, failings, mistakes, things that we wish we could take back, but we can't. There's all these weeds in there. Jesus doesn't turn his back on anybody because of weeds. And I think that's important for us too. Billy said something real beautiful the other night. It just got me really thinking. He said, we're supposed to love everybody, not because of the sins they don't commit, but because of Christ in them. And isn't that the truth? In other words, we are supposed to love people. We are invited to love people, not because they don't have any weeds, but because Jesus is in there. And the reality is, if we wait to love somebody, if we love only those people who don't have any weeds, then we're not going to love anybody, because everybody's got weeds. And everybody's got, listen to that again, Billy Cross. We are meant to love people not because of the sins they don't commit, but because of the Christ in them. And friends, that's an important lesson for all of us. People will always disappoint us. Even the people we love the most will let us down sometimes. But we love them anyway. We love them despite those weeds. And sometimes even because of those weeds. You know that Jesus said, all things work together unto good for those who love God. St. Augustine added to the end of that, even sins. That's how good God is. That he will work everything together unto good, including our sins, including our weeds. Isn't that extraordinary? That's our God. And so when you find somebody who's got weeds, instead of walking away from them, I think of the church too, you know? Sometimes you might find a weed or two in the priesthood. You might find a weed or two in the church. But you know the saying, you want to join a church that's perfect? Well, the moment you join it, it ain't perfect anymore because you're not perfect. And the reality of it is there's weeds everywhere, even in the body of Christ, in the church. But you don't turn your back on just because of a weed. And I don't know, I guess that's enough to say about all that. You still water it, you still give it life. Let's give thanks to the good Lord, and more than anything, take this with you when you leave and pray with it. It will do you wonders. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.